It is so good to be back and to be recording a message to all of you. And after a bit of a hiatus, this feels good to actually be talking back into my phone again and knowing that this coming Sunday morning, you will all be listening. So I want to thank John for covering for me this past week. As you learned from the previous week's worship packet, I started the NGLI program, which is the Next Generation Leadership Initiative of the Pension Boards of the United Church of Christ. They choose 3% of UCC clergy over a period of 20 years. We are currently in year 11. So hopefully by the end of 20 years, they will have 3% of us in that program. You have to be under 40 years old and in your first 5 years of ministry, and they walk with you and grow with you and provide you with money for continuing education, congregational development, leadership development, and all sorts of things for this entire duration of this six-year program. So I am very grateful to be a part of it and had a really good time meeting my colleagues. There are 14 of us in this cohort. Three of us are from California, and the rest are from a smattering of other states across the country. And we did our orientation over Zoom, which was rather unique because we were all in four different time zones as we were having this this orientation, which normally would have been in Cleveland at our denominational headquarters. But alas, this year it was on Zoom. So thank you to John for covering for me so I could do that and focus on that last week. And also thank you to the people at Apple for fixing my computer. My computer keyboard had a malfunction, which means that I couldn't even input the password to get into my computer. So it took a trip to Houston and came back to me after a couple of weeks, and it is functioning well. So I'm glad that we're back on our road trip. We had a broken tire or a flat tire, so to speak, and we took a little bit of a detour to Maine with John. But now we're back on our California journey, and we have progressed from Los Angeles, where we experienced Kehinde Wiley, and now we're here in San Diego, in familiar territory, in a location that is home for us. And the artist that I chose today is Pablo O'Higgins, who was actually born in Salt Lake City, but who moved to San Diego as a child, and his family had a ranch in El Cajon. And he grew up on this ranch out in El Cajon, and he was really interested in drawing and painting from a young age. And so his parents helped nurture that interest. He was also always interested in the sort of bi-nationality of this region in which we live. And at that time, the border was a lot less demarcated than it is now. And so Pablo, as a young man, would go across the border and make friends in Mexico and have a life over there as well, and then have his life in El Cajon as well. He eventually joined the Academy of Arts in San Diego, but he left when he was 20 years old because he was enamored with Diego Rivera in Mexico City. And he wrote to Diego Rivera and said that he wanted to come study under him, to be his gallery assistant, to do any manner of things that Diego Rivera would let him do. And Diego Rivera accepted, and when he was 20 years old, Pablo O'Higgins moved to Mexico City, and he would ultimately spend the majority of his life living in Mexico. He wasn't born Pablo. He was actually born Paul. His full name was Paul Higgins Stevenson, but he wanted to make his name into its Spanish equivalent and also honor his Irish heritage because his grandparents were from Ireland. And so he reformatted his name to Pablo O'Higgins, which he thought was easy to remember. It was easier for people in Mexico to pronounce, and it made him feel more a part of this new artistic environment in which he found himself. One of the things that you have to remember about this time period is that in the early 20th century. So Pablo O'Higgins was born in 1904, and he was 20 when he made it to Mexico, so it was 1924. In the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s, Mexico City was this center of intellectual thought. There were many expats who arrived in this city and who were artists and thinkers. Dina Modotti was from Italy, a famous photographer and actress. You have Lenora Carrington, who I've actually preached about before. She was a surrealist painter from England. Pablo O'Higgins, you had Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, and they were all very political, and they were all part of the Mexican Communist Party, and were this is post-revolution Mexico, and so they're all very interested in these political questions and sort of what the future of this country is going to look like. And so they took those questions up and involved those issues in their art and in their photography and in the different ways that these creatives express themselves. And many of them were disenchanted with the countries in which they were originally from. And at that time, Mexico City was sort of a place for this bohemian lifestyle that attracted a lot of these misfits in other countries. And what is really unique about this is that a large part of the Mexican artistic canon was created during these years, and many of its most important contributors were people who naturalized as Mexican but who had foreign origins. So there were several folks from Europe, from England, as I said before, and from the United States, who all sort of descended upon Mexico and really helped to give it a very international bohemian flavor in the cultural production that was happening at that time. So Pablo O'Higgins actually became one of the most important Mexican muralists of the 20th century. He was featured in a show in 1940 at the Museum of Modern Art in New York on the most seminal Mexican artists of the 19th and 20th century. And of the 40 artists that the Museum of Modern Art chose, he was the only one that they selected who was not actually native-born in that country. And so that's just a testament to the profound power that his sort of outside view lended towards Mexican art. Of course, as a communist, one of his primary concerns was with the worker and with the working class and with the poor. And so a lot of the art of this time period really reflects the plight of those who were disenfranchised in Mexican society. So as you can see from a lot of the pieces that I chose, Pablo O'Higgins is really concerned with the common people. He's concerned with workers, with laborers. He created a series of lithographs that show different professions, blue-collar professions, and the contributions that they make to society. He would oftentimes paint bricklayers. He would paint people that were at the local market. He would paint people that were oftentimes ignored by society. Pablo O'Higgins married a lawyer from northern Mexico, Maria de Jesus de la Fuente Casas, and she had a partnership with her where she helped manage his gallery. There is currently a museum in the southern part of Mexico City that is dedicated to his work that she helped establish. Pablo O'Higgins died in the early 80s, and she continued living well beyond that. After being married, Pablo O'Higgins went to Moscow for a year to teach art there and to engage in a cultural exchange mission there. Today, you can be a dual citizen of Mexico and the United States, but at that time, it was not possible to do so. And so Pablo had the opportunity to become officially Mexican, but it would have required him to give up his United States nationality, which he never wanted to do because he wanted the opportunity to always come back and visit his mother in California. And being that he had political beliefs that would have been questionable to the United States government at that time, getting a visa probably would have been rather difficult, and so he decided to retain his U.S. nationality. But once dual nationality became possible, he was, after his death, actually awarded Mexican nationality. So Pablo O'Higgins is actually considered both an American and a Mexican artist. One thing about Pablo O'Higgins is he wanted his artwork to be accessible to people, and that's why he focused so much on printmaking. He painted many original watercolor and oil paintings, but he really honed his skill as a printmaker because prints are more democratic. They can be distributed at a much lower cost. You can reproduce an image multiple times at relatively minimal cost and then offer that work to the public at a much reduced price. And that was something that was important to him, was not only to hone this craft of printmaking, but to also make his imagery more accessible to the public. And so as such, he was a founding member of what's called the Taller de Gráfica Popular, which is a workshop of graphic artists that all worked on creating lithographs that were used in many prominent places in Mexico for advertising campaigns, for government projects. And Pablo O'Higgins didn't just assist in public works projects in Mexico, but his artwork has also been used as murals in many different American universities, one of which is in Seattle. And you can still go today and see this really beautiful story of Chicano people in the United States that he painted in Seattle. If you go to Barrio Logan in here in San Diego, you can see that Pablo's picture is actually on one of the murals down there as one of the people who is celebrated as one of the most important ambassadors of this sort of relationship, complex relationship between the United States and Mexico. I find a lot of inspiration in Pablo O'Higgins because, as you all know, Latin America is very important to me, and I conceive of the Americas as sort of one entity, North and South America, from Canada all the way to Argentina. And if you'll remember, in 2018, our theme was rediscovering and redefining America, and we experienced all sorts of American music, from salsa dancing to the Navy band, to even the music of Spain, Portugal, and Italy, which are responsible for many of the immigrants in the Americas. We had Mexican percussion, Mesoamerican Mexican percussion, and I really tried to communicate to our community and to the church that American music does not just mean the United States, but it means this entire side of the world, all of these countries together, which compose the Americas, and that the American experience is something that all of us who are from this side of the world share. The scripture that I chose to accompany our journey through San Diego and our experience of Pablo O'Higgins is actually Leviticus, which is a little strange because it rarely comes up in the lectionary, and it's rarely something that we talk about. It's the third book of the Torah, and it concerns itself largely with different holiness codes and different rules that were instituted for the ancient Israelites. And the concern is that God wants or desires this sort of cleanliness so that God can be present in the temple. And so most of Leviticus are speeches of God to Moses explaining sort of what these holiness codes look like and how ritual holiness can be performed. And we don't talk about Leviticus that much in the church today, and oftentimes we don't because there are parts in it which are not contextually relevant for our modern time. It's something that we really have to have an important historical context in order to be able to read responsibly. But section, chapter 19, which is the verses that I chose, concern themselves with neighborliness, which is something that I think transcends time. And neighborliness is something that is an ancient value that is still very much relevant today. And so we hear in there this mandate that says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And I think that that speaks to the way that Mexico treated Pablo O'Higgins, that it embraced him as one of its own, that he was a foreigner from the United States and who became one of the most important creators of visual Mexican culture and became a Mexican muralist himself. And that wouldn't have been possible without the hospitality of his receiving culture. It wouldn't have been possible without their openness, without their vision that their country can be made better and can be made more interesting and richer and deeper by being open to the gifts of other people. And I think there's something in that that we can learn from this, that we can remember that in Leviticus 19, that we are charged with being hospitable to the foreigners among us, that we are charged with being open to the contributions that they can make to transform our culture and transform the way that we see ourselves and to add depth and richness to everything that we have here. And so I think that it's an inspiring thing that in the 1920s that Pablo O'Higgins was so embraced by another culture. And here we are in 2020, and we here have an opportunity to be ever more inclusive, to expand the table of who is included. And we can see that Mexico has such a beautiful, rich tradition of art, largely because they have been open to what the Holy Spirit brings them and have been open towards inclusion and including all of these different influences in their visual artistic culture. We in the United States have the opportunity to do the same. And I hope that the story of Pablo O'Higgins and that any research that you do on him in addition to this can help you see that we have a great opportunity to do that both here at home as well. So next week, we're going to actually continue our road trip. We're going to continue the Californias. California does not stop in San Diego. We have two more Californias to go, Baja California and Baja California Sur. So we will be venturing into Tijuana next week, and I hope to join you on that journey. May it be so. Amen.